Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host our show, Life, Laughter, Happiness. Today, I have my co-host Barbara here with me. Are you there, Barbara?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, everybody.
And our guest today is Deborah Driggs, Miss March 1990. Now, I guess I'll just start it off because I think you two obviously go way back, right?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Welcome to the show, Deborah. I always love having the 90s girls because those are my girls. How are you?
Hi, everyone. Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much for having me on your show. And it's always a pleasure to be with Barbara, talk to Barbara, catch up. I mean, my God. We've had some crazy fun times, and it's so great now when I run into her anytime, you know, and we get to reminisce. So I love this. This is awesome.
Yes, and it's not like that with every playmate, and so it's fortunate that we have that. I'm realizing that more and more, interviewing so many that I hadn't talked to for 20 years. I mean, I'm a playmate this month, 28 years.
Yeah. I know. And, you know, it's interesting because I really, you know, when I did Playboys, it seems like so many years. I mean, it is so many years ago, but, you know, I got married and had children and I kind of fell off the map, so to speak. I wasn't one of the girls that, you know, did a lot with Playboy. And so I just feel really fortunate that I still, like, when we run into each other, it's like no time has passed.
No time has passed, and sometimes it feels like yesterday, actually. So, before we're going to get into, we start off with one question. But before that, I just want everybody to know, well, you know what? If you didn't do so much, you got married right after, and if you didn't do so much with Playboy, I saw you anyway, because you are, I just want everybody to know, one of the best businesswomen I know out there, a go-getter, entrepreneur. I mean, and we're going to get into all of that, what you do at the end. But first, we want to know, how did you become a Playboy Playmate?
Oh, such a great question, right? I mean, this is always the question that I get. I get that question, or I get, what was it like knowing Hugh? And I go, you mean Hef?
Me too.
Let's just start with, we call him Hef, okay?
Yeah, Hugh,
so,
that's too weird.
So yeah.
Hold on. Deborah, I just wanted to say you're the only one who said that as well. And we've interviewed like 20 playmates so far. That is the question I get most often too. And that's why I chose it for the first question. You know, people want to know, don't they?
Yeah, it's always the elephant in the room, especially for me and in my career. People, you know, immediately want to know, okay, what was it like? You know, what was it like? So here's my story. I didn't aspire to do Playboy. You know, a lot of the girls, you know, they sent in thousands of photos and, you know, it was like that was their whole life goal to be in Playboy. Well, I was already modeling. I was with an agency back then called Mary Webb Davis. And my agent called me, and I was doing a lot of swimsuit modeling and commercials. Playboy is coming out with a book called The Lingerie Book. And they're really – what is that squeaking? Sorry, do you hear that squeaking?
You know what? That's my bird. those would be my bird.
Like, what is that squeaking?
Yeah. And did you always at this
anyway,
time get excited? Okay.
It's so funny. Anyway, so she called me. She said, Playboy is coming out with a book. It's called The Lingerie Book, and they really want you for the cover. And it's going to be the first issue, blah, blah, blah. So I go to the Sunset building on Sunset, you know, and the big famous Playboy building back then. And when I got there, they asked me to remove all my clothes and put on a robe. They were going to do a Polaroid. And I said, no, I'm not here for that. I'm here for the cover for the lingerie book. And they said, well, everything we do has nudity. We want it. And back then, you know, they wanted to make sure you didn't have scars or tattoos. So things have changed quite a bit.
Right. But,
you know, so they were looking to make sure your skin was, you know, pretty flawless. And so I said,
okay,
I'm going to leave my panties and bra on because, you know, I didn't do nudity back then. So I get a Polaroid and I leave. I get home, and back then, you know, we had answering machines. And on my answering machine, I already had a message from Marilyn Krabowski. And if you remember Marilyn, this is Marilyn Krabowski, and we would like to have you come in and test for Playmate. You know, and I'm thinking, who is this woman?
You do her voice so well. I loved her.
I loved her too. And so I showed up and interviewed with her, and she said, Deborah, you are, we need you. We need brunettes. We have all these blondes, and we really need brunettes. And you're going to test for Playboy. And I said, I am not Playboy material. I mean, this is how, you know, my thinking was back then, because I am the girl next door, but I'm also the funny girl. I'm not a sexy, you know, back then I was a total tomboy. So I said to her, there's just no way. I don't think this is going to work out. So I tested and I got chosen. And that is really my story. It's interesting because I would have never pictured myself as a playmate. And, you know, a lot of the women, I'm always, you know, like even now when I see some of the most, you know, the recent girls, and God damn, they're hot. They're so beautiful and so sexy. And I'm like, did I do Playboy? You know what
I
mean?
Well, yeah, but they pour that on. Anybody could pour that on. That's just the look of these days, you know. And but when Hev was really doing it, it was the girl next door. And I mean, your face is absolutely perfect. I mean, asymmetrical, perfect. You have blue eyes, don't you?
I have green eyes, hazel green eyes. And you
hazel,
know, and I was
beautiful.
Like, they needed brunettes. You know?
And what better with the green eyes? You know, you're right.
Thank
next
you, Barbara.
To
that
Tamara
is very
Anderson. Yes. Well, if I did it my natural way, I would have had green eyes and brown hair too.
Hey, Pam was my roommate. You know, she and I lived together.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
But
so we met.
Okay, we're looking at the Playmate book, 1990s. It was you were Miss March, Deborah Driggs, and right before you, Miss February, was Pamela Anderson. So, wow. And so I thought when you said roommates, I thought you meant like at the mansion cottage.
No, as a matter of fact, we both booked a job. We hadn't met yet. We booked a job and we both were flown into Chicago. We met, and she and I were the models for a catalog, one of the Playboy catalogs. And so we roomed together in Chicago for three nights while we were shooting. And she said, you know, I'm looking. She was just this really sweet girl from Canada. She was just moving to L.A. and really, like, I mean, the nicest girl. And she said, you know, I'm looking for a place to live. And I said, guess what? My roommate is moving out. We have a three-bedroom apartment in North Hollywood. If you want, you could take over her room. And so she moved in with us. We lived together for about a year together. We went to the mansion together. This is back when she was dating Scotty Baio. And, you know, it was great. And then she and I were going to move to Beverly Hills together. And I ended up, you know, meeting my husband, Mitch. And so I got married.
Which is amazing. Okay, because I knew him. I for sure knew him before I even knew you, because I was a gymnast. I love gymnastics. I knew him. He was, for everybody listening, Olympian. Tell us about his accolades real quick. I'm impressed.
Yeah, Mitch was going into the 1984 Olympics, the number one gymnast in the world. He was the world champion.
Wow.
and he won four medals in 1984, including the team gold. He had two tricks named after him. No, I you know, to this day, I still brag about him. I mean, he definitely made his mark in that sport and went on to be, you know, a really well-known speaker and did a ton of endorsements. And yeah, no, he's a wonderful, wonderful human being, and I'm blessed to have three amazing, beautiful children with him. And I don't like saying ex. I always say husband. I know I don't like saying
that's
husband.
Cute. I'm going to write that down. That is a cute.
Yeah.
That's a Deborah-ism.
Yeah.
You made it up.
Yes. Yes, my Deborah-ism.
And so that's good that you, of course, are talking like this. You're in very good terms. I mean, hey, it doesn't work out, but you have three beautiful children together. You had a wonderful time together while you were together, and that was a big part of your life. And so I'm sure he talked to you a lot, too, didn't he, about a lot?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, beautiful soul, just a beautiful soul. And I get to experience that through my children. You know, they inherited some really beautiful traits of his, you know, so it's like that. You can't, it's all love, you know, it's all about love. It's all about love.
It really is.
At the end of the day, I was going to say, you know, at the end of the day, when you put your head on the pillow, you just, you know, to go to bed with any resentments or any regrets is just, it's not worth it. You know, as we get older, it's just not worth it. Life is too precious, too beautiful.
Yes. I agree. But before we go back to your Playboy experience, I want to know, how did you meet him?
Well, we met in acting class. So, you know, I was in a 2-year acting program, and he and I were in that program together. And we didn't, you know, we really didn't talk too much during the first year because first year was really intense. And then during the second year, we really started to become friends and got to know each other. And we fell in love, and, you know, we got married in 1992. My son was born in 93, and I had three children back-to-back. And, you know, once I had my third, I'm a full-time mom. And, I think I did my last big acting gig probably in 1999. And then I did, you know, some commercials and hosting, but I put being a mom first and raising my kids.
I understand. Oh, yeah,
right?
I understand that. But, I totally
do
understand that first priority.
Through, you know, all my friends, because they were all still going to the mansion and going to the parties. And I was like, oh, that looks so fun. But
had a hot bod. You didn't?
Yeah,
Did you take him, though? Did you take him up there for New Year's Eve?
I took Mitch to the mansion a couple of times, and he had been there, you know, prior to us dating. He had been up there right after the Olympics, and he was invited as a guest many times. But together as a couple, we went a few times. And
was he proud
of you?
Was he proud about you being a playmate?
You know, I don't know. I would have to guess yes. You know, I don't think he would have married me if he wasn't proud, you know, because that comes with it, right? That comes with the package.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's part of
it. And if he's a public speaker, he's a public speaker and he was going towards that, you know, he wouldn't want anything that he would be embarrassed of. So he obviously, you know, loved you.
Yeah, I think he was very proud of, definitely. And I think he was proud of a lot of my accomplishments. And as you know, I also was on the Playboy Adventure Extreme team. So, you know, I was doing that for a few years with the, you know, I was doing all those races, those crazy adventure racing.
Was that with
Janelle
Volta?
Janelle
and Jenny McCoy.
Yep. We were a team.
Hard
and
body.
I trained with, we were in crazy athletic shape. I mean, I was in the best shape of my life. Those races were anywhere from 12 to 20 hours long.
Wow. And that
people,
I loved.
People
I really admired
lost,
that.
Yeah, people really thought we had lost our minds because we were really in the trenches. We were like, I mean, we were working out 6 hours a day.
Wow, I didn't know it was that intense with this Playboy group. You guys, I had no idea it was that intense. Wow.
Yeah. There was probably 9 or 10 girls on the team, but there was three or four of us that were really extreme and really we were doing the races. Yeah.
So that was a really. You were in acting class with him. You were doing lingerie modeling. You were modeling. It goes kind of hand in hand, acting, modeling, entertainment business. And I see you now, and you still are ripped. I mean, you're hard body. Those three kids did nothing to your body. And I know that because I recently saw you. So that must have been kind of why you connected too. I mean, athletes, you know, they love other athletes. So it was like a good match, I would imagine.
Well, Barbara, you know, my background, growing up, I was a competitive ice skater. So I definitely had the I grew up ice skating every day. I got up at 4 a.m. And back then we had to do figures and really it was really strict. And, you know, I skated before and after school and that was my life. I think ice skating actually really saved my life because it gave me so much structure and so much discipline that I was lacking in my home life. And so I got it in the ice skating rink, and it really set the tone for how I do things in my life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When I look back, I go, that's where I got that discipline. You know, that's where I got that work ethic. That's where I got the, you know, if somebody says be here at 6 a.m., I'm there, you know. And so when I started racing with the girls and we started doing all that extreme racing, I just fit right in because I was like, oh, I my body knows how to do this. You know, it's great.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. That is wonderful. Did you do single or did you have a partner for skating?
No, I did. I was a single. I was a woman's figure skater. And then towards the end of my ice skating, I started doing ice dancing and taking those tests. And then, you know, I gave it all up when I was about 15. You know, my parents got a divorce. And that chaos just, the turmoil and chaos of that just took me away from the rink. And to this, you know, every once in a while I'll go and skate and, you know, get back on the ice. You know, I love it. It's part of who I am. So, you know, anytime I can put my skates on, it's a good thing.
Wow. That's something
kinda
I did
like
not know about you.
Dancing.
Yes. And mine is always with a partner. So here I have a sport that I need a partner for. And if you don't have one, it's like, okay, then what do? Just go to the local place and dance with all the people who are beginners. It is kind of sad when you kind of lose that passion in that sport that you love doing so much and then you aren't doing it anymore. I mean, I felt for many years a big void that I wasn't competing anymore, but you know, I met my goals. And I mean, I got engaged and I was going to get married and I stopped doing that as well. But I mean, how long can you do something like that? It's just hard on the body,
and you know,
it's super expensive too.
Yeah, I have to tell you, when I stopped skating, I think at 15, I remember, you know, I didn't know it at the time, but now when I look back, it makes so much sense to me that, you know, I was really grieving at that age, and I was really grieving, you know, the loss of, you know, that was something in my life that I really depended on, and then it was gone, and nobody ever talked about it, you know, like nobody in my life said, oh, do you miss skating, or do you want to just skate a couple days a week, or, you know what I mean, like it was interesting when I look back, I'm like, God, nobody even, like, that was a big part of my life, it was kind of like a death, and nobody talked about it,
Sorry to interrupt, but do you know that that is happening to are having the worst time with coronavirus? Because I was telling my 13-year-old daughter the other day, can you imagine? I mean, if I had to stop my school, I mean, softball was everything to me. My band, my flute playing, that was my life. I lived for those things that I was doing. I mean, so much. And that's ripped away from those kids. And that's why they're going into depression, because they say that nobody seems to care. Nobody's listening to them. Nobody's asking them how they are. Nobody cares. And that is happening still to this day.
Yeah, no, this is a definite challenge right now that's happening in the United States. And I really believe that education is going to be a thing of the past. I think it's going to change dramatically. And I don't know how the shift is going to occur, but I know that these kids are depressed. I mean, they're home, they're on their computer, they're falling asleep, they don't care, they've lost interest, they can't have interaction. You know,
they
for
can't
me,
have their voice, maybe.
I just, yeah, and for me, I mean, I'm an extrovert, you know, I'm outgoing, I'm social, and I know that for me, just not being able to see people or go have lunch or go, you know, just go meet people, you know, like I was going to go meet some friends here in LA. Where are we going? There's nowhere to go. And everything has changed. And yeah. So yeah, we are definitely facing some really different, just really different what's going on. And I really pray every day, especially for people who are alone. I mean, I'm lucky. My daughter lives with me, but, you know, some people are alone and isolated, and that is so hard on people. So I pray for
it. Really is.
Don't have any.
And the moral of the story, too, for our kids is ask your kids, everybody who's listening, how are you? You know, ask them questions, because sometimes that's all they need. They just need to feel loved and cared about and listened to. And then, you know, they can make it. They can make it through. Okay, so back to your centerfold. I have it open to your page. It is one of the best, because it's so absolutely beautiful. You are laying on satin. Like copper satin sheets. You have black thigh highs on beautiful sheer, a rash of lavender around you, and I mean those piercing eyes looking at you. I mean the pose. Why did they come up with one day pose test? And how do they look at you and say, okay, you're gonna look good in this pose? Let's test poses. Like, how did the pose test day happen for you?
You know. I wish I could remember. What I do remember about that day was I thought, wow, I'm really out of shape, because I had to hold that pose for hours. And most of that time was spent on getting the lighting right, because back then it was all about the lighting. And I was like, my God, my back. I just remember
twisted.
Thinking. Yeah. So I don't remember how we all came up with it, but I do, when they asked me, how do you see this? How do you see yourself? And I just saw myself in a French chateau, you know, like I had never been to Paris, and I thought, I feel like it has to be very French and very French themed. And it's so funny, because talk about the universe. A couple of years ago, I did my ancestry, you know, how everybody's doing that test now to find out your whatever, like what you're the most, and mine came back, I'm mostly French.
Wow.
Oh,
you were drawn to that.
Isn't that funny?
Now, I have a question.
So the universe,
are you friends with a lot of Olympic athletes?
What, say the question again?
Are you friends with a lot of Olympic athletes?
Am I friends? Yes, I am.
Yeah, because I was wanting to ask you, do you know anybody named Sean Johnson?
John or Sean?
She was a
girl. Oh, no, I don't know. I don't know her. No. No,
okay,
I've met mostly the people, you know, I've met mostly the people that, you know, Mitch knew, so, you know, obviously, you know, we knew Bruce Jenner and Chris Kardashian and
Are you still good friends with that family?
No, you know, when you get divorced, you just kind of lose touch with the whole group. But I did run into back in 17 during the World Series, I ran into Candace and Steve Garvey at the Dodger game. And, you know, it's funny because their daughter was my son's first girlfriend. Such a small world.
Oh.
You know, just how that all connects. And we all lived in Park City at the same time. And, God, just that whole group that we used to run with, you know. But, no, I don't see
a lot
anymore.
Of celebrities.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, my life is very quiet. You know, a lot of these, it's so funny because the business I'm in now kind of took me back into the entertainment world because a lot of the people in the entertainment world now are my clients. So it's very interesting how everything comes full circle.
We might as well get into that. Oh, life insurance. I don't have any.
Well, we'll have to get you.
I read about that, though. I read about that and how determined you were and how it's not easy when you start in a business like that for somebody to trust you.
Yeah, exactly. And also, you know, when I got divorced, I had kind of side, you know, I had never really worked a real job. When I say a real job, outside of the entertainment world, I grew up in the entertainment world. I grew up, you know, my mom had me doing commercials, and I started modeling at 20, you know, and right out of high school, and I was a professional cheerleader, and then I went to Japan and did commercials, and you know, I didn't really know anything else. I was making great money doing commercials and traveling, and I'd go to Mexico City and do car commercials, and I was just all over. I was the first host for the Fashion Channel before Home Shopping and before, what do you call it? What's the other shopping channel? But, you know, Home Shopping.
QVC.
QVC. Yeah, there was a back when I started, and I think it was 85, it was called the Fashion Network, and I was the host. I was one of the hosts for that. And so, you know, that's all I knew. And when I got divorced, you know, we were not a wealthy family. You know, we did really well, but we weren't wealthy. And so I had to work. And my first job was real estate. I was living in Park City. I was raising my kids in Park City. And I would go and do the morning show in Park City. It was a 2-hour unscripted morning show for the Park City area. And then I would go to my office and sell real estate. And in 2008, when the bubble burst and the market took a dive, you know, I worked in the second home luxury market. Nobody was buying a second home in 2008. So I then, you know, had to figure out what I was going to do. And so I went to somebody that, you know, I had referred business to in Beverly Hills, and he said, get your license. Deborah, all the business that you referred me, they've all become clients. Get your license and, you know, you'll do really well. And I did. And cut to, in 2012, I became the number one agent for AXA. And it's funny because I wasn't captive to them. They're like, who's Deborah Gaylord? You know, like, how did she become, you know, this, you know, but I just was on, you know, I was dialing for dollars. I was doing whatever it took to get ahead. And, but you know,
and dialing
I'm
the
also,
phone, you mean,
I'm also
right?
about adding
dialing,
value and providing, go ahead.
Dialing the phone, right? You have to do a
That's
lot
it.
Of phone calls. And you were relentless. I read this about you somewhere. And you're like, hey,
yeah.
I would just try again. And I'd work them, and I'd work it over and over. And you never gave up. And that's why you were number one. You had that from ice skating. You had that drive that was instilled in you. That is amazing that you have that. That really,
thank you.
Like you said,
you.
It really helped.
Thank
yes.
you. Well,
so
and also, you know,
amazing.
Really what I want to have come across is, you know, is that I had a lot of people along the way that were really supportive and really helped. And, you know, a lot of people said, you know, Deborah, I already have insurance, but they gave me a chance. And you know, when you get the once you get the one person and they start saying, "Hey, she's actually, this is what she's doing, and it's actually really good, and she saved me money," or whatever it was, whatever the case may be. You know, once you get the, it's like a snowball effect. So I had a lot of support. I had a lot of people who helped me. I have a lot of great mentors in my life. I did not do this alone. You know, it's not an I, it was a we. And, yeah. You know, I just feel really grateful for the people in my life that really believe and, you know, support me. And, you know, that's really hard to find, you know. And
it really
so I don't
is.
Take that
but
for,
you cultivated
yeah, I don't
it.
Take, yeah, I don't take that for granted. And now I'm at a place in my life where I had a good run with that. And, you know, I'll always continue to have that in my life. But I'm also now letting my creative side come back out and doing, I'm going to be finishing a book here in a couple months.
Oh.
And, yeah, it's a memoir.
Can you tell us?
I'm really, really writing about, you know, and it's funny because the first chapter is about question people ask me. They don't ask me like, "Oh, you were married to Mitch," or, "Oh, you did this," or, "Oh, you climbed Mount Everest." No, it's, "You were a playmate? Tell me about that."
Yes.
Wait, did you climb Mount Everest?
It's number two brand. What, Tony?
Did she climb Mount Everest?
No, but I'm just saying, like, I've done, you know, some exceptional things in my life, and you would think that
big
people
speech.
Would want to know more. Yeah.
Well,
so
I'm not surprised. You know why? I think that, I don't know who's number one, but I think Playboy is the number two brand in the whole entire world.
Yeah. Well, for
so,
many years,
yeah.
They were the number one magazine. When we did Playboy, it was the number one magazine in the world. And you know, I mean, Hef was a genius. He really was.
He really was. And, oh, let's get back to that. Who shot your centerfold?
The great Richard Fegley.
Oh, so was that in Chicago?
No, he shot me in L.A., but I requested him because I remember looking, you know, I never had looked at Playboy before I did Playboy, which is so funny. And I remember when I went for the audition for the lingerie book before I did the centerfold, I looked at Kim Basinger, the issue where she did her pictorial, and I noticed that Richard Fegley shot it, and I thought, God, it's so beautiful. You know, she was so, her pictorial was so raw and just really just, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's just a beautiful
yes.
pictorial. Yeah. And so I just thought, I love the way he shot. Arnie was a little, I love Arnie, but he was just a little too, like, I don't know that I would have felt comfortable with him. Richard and I just clicked, and I just loved him. He made me feel comfortable. I felt safe. There was just something.
Mm-hmm.
And I also really, I really got along with, you know, Steve Wade. I shot my cover that I, you know, because I was on
I
the
know.
Cover the Halloween.
I was going to ask
yeah, he
you
shot,
about, okay, tell
he,
us. About what month and year was the cover?
It was the following month. So it was April 1990, and I had flown to Chicago to shoot with him, and I fell in love with him. He and Richard were my two, you know, I just love them. And
me
I
too.
Shot probably four or five covers with Steve, and a lot of them, you know, were Europe covers and Australia and Asia.
Right.
Steve Wada was just, oh, my God. He was great.
Amazing.
Loved him.
You know, I
yeah,
asked
but,
for him, and I was going to mention that isn't it great how Playboy actually listened to us? Like, they listened to you, how you wanted your centerfold, how you saw yourself, and they did it.
Yeah.
And who you wanted to shoot with, they made that happen. And they listened to us. And I really have noticed that a lot. And, you know,
yeah.
Oh, okay, Stephen Wada, so then we shoot, because the other one we just mentioned, what was the other one? Not Richard Fegley, but the other one we just mentioned.
Richard Fegley, Arnie Freitag.
Okay, Arnie.
Yes.
Arnie, he did something like the test or something, and I did something with Steve, and I requested Steve, and Arnie took me to a room alone. He wanted to know why. Not mean, but it was upsetting to him. He wanted to know why I didn't want him to shoot it, and I wanted Steve. And I was just a little girl. I felt like such a little girl. It was like, oh, my goodness. I don't even remember what I said. I really don't. And it was awkward. It was really awkward. But anyway, I got what I wanted, and I got Steve, and we clicked. And some people would just click with certain people. So
well, it's real important, right? I mean, you're doing this vulnerable, you know, side of yourself, and you know, we were so young. I mean, I was 25 when I did that, and you know, I really didn't know my sexuality back then. I really didn't know. Yet I didn't really know myself. You know, it wasn't.
Right.
You know, I was such a late bloomer. I really didn't fall into knowing who I was as a woman until I got into my 40s. Like, it took me a while to really catch up with myself. You know,
I get that.
Yeah.
I was such a late bloomer too. Like, I was 15 and just started to bloom, like 15 slowly, and other people are like 12, and here I am looking at Playboy at 12 years old, hoping I was one of those that always wanted to be one, and hoping, gosh, I hope I grow. I hope I get some hips. I hope I get some boobs. I hope I get some height. You know, I was tiny, and then I did at 18, literally, I grew like 5 inches, and it all like, and
that's
that was
funny.
After I graduated from high school, of course. You know, I was, you know, then a woman. So it would have been nice to be, like, curvy and sexy in high school, I always thought, but I wasn't.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't
and
any
modest.
Of them in high school. As a matter of fact, you know, it's so funny because the girls that had, you know, the curves and the boobs and the bodies, and the guys would go nuts over these girls, and I was just the tomboy, flat-chested, you know. I couldn't get a date to save my life, you know. It was like I look back on that and I just laugh now because, you know, what I've become now in my life is so completely opposite of, you know, I really, you know, when I was in high school, I thought, God, I don't think guys are going to be into me, you know, because I was just kind of like, I was their friend, you know, I was like a tomboy. I'd go throw the football, you know, I'd go play frisbee on the lawn, you know, and the other girls were running around, you know, and they were all dating and in serious relationships. And I thought, wow, am I ever going to have a boyfriend? You know, that's how I felt in high school. I wasn't the girl that the guys wanted to date. And that didn't happen until my 20s, really. I was really a late bloomer. I looked like a baby. I mean, I can remember being like 25 and looking 15, you know, like I just looked like a baby.
And
so
I bet that's why Playboy liked you too.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely had a very young look. And it's so funny because I kind of wish looking back, and you know, I wouldn't change anything, but I really wish that I wouldn't have done all that, you know, when they put all that makeup and all, you know, because that's not really, you know, because I remember people would see me in person and go, you look nothing like your issue.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, well, they put a gob of makeup on you and they do your hair and, you know, and it's really not how I ran around. So.
Oh, I know. And, you know, when you would go and do an event, I don't know if this ever happened to you, but you'd get off the airplane and the client would be waiting to pick you up. And I would see them looking around for Barbara Moore, and I'm standing right there.
And, yeah, exactly.
And they're like, oh, you're Barbara Moore? And I'm like, what did you expect, a full face of makeup and an evening gown? You know, I mean, I'm traveling. I'm the girl next door. So same thing. Nobody's ever said that before, but I felt that we've interviewed, but I felt that too. Quite a lot, but nothing wrong with us. I mean, we look pretty natural, so it was fine. And I loved having different looks. I loved to be able to just then, hey, do whatever you want with me in the lingerie catalogs or whatever I'm doing. And I'm sure all of your commercials you know, your look might be changed a little bit. I didn't care. You know, when you're an actress, it's like, aren't you supposed to be a plain canvas and become whatever they want you to become? That's how I looked
at it. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, so, you know, I wouldn't change it because now it's working for me and my benefit. It's working for me now, you know, as I'm getting older, like, you know, at least I'm not, I still have a youthful look about me, you know, which is good.
You still really look very young. And those girls who had all the curves now, sometimes those curves turn into saddlebags, you know what I mean? And I feel lucky that I was more athletic and my genes and, you know,
yeah.
I'm able to stay thin pretty easily and in shape pretty easily.
Yep.
So that's all great. That's all great because some don't. But did you just love your centerfold?
You know, it's funny that you asked me that because, you know, I was so critical of myself back then. You know, I didn't look at things I did. I didn't watch myself. You know, my commercial would be running on TV. People go, oh, my God, it's your commercial. And I would just go in the other room. Like, I was so critical of myself. And, you know, I was such a perfectionist. Now when I look at it, I go, wow, isn't that crazy? Like, that's me. And I have a different lens. But, boy, at the time, I was so critical of everything that I did. And it was really hard for me to watch myself or watch anything that I did, I would be judging, and which is a really good lesson now in my life because now I just, you know, with writing this book, I'm like, I'm trying to do it from a place of not judging, you know, just let it come out, and I can always change it, and you know,
right?
Just keep
we got off the subject of the book. We got off that subject. Can you tell us? Do you have a title yet?
Nope, there's just a working title, and the working title is Chapter 1, because I always feel like everything in life is, you know, Chapter 1, Step 1, everything's always like, you know, has a beginning, and so that's the working title, is just Chapter 1, and it's just really like my story, and my hope in writing it is that young girls will read it and go, oh, and just breathe and relax and know that even somebody that had a little bit of success, you know, was on a couple of covers or did a few commercials, had a handful of acting experiences, you know, and my big thing that I always pat my back on, and it's a small thing to some people, it's a huge thing for me, was getting my SAG card. That was the
whole thing.
And, you know, and so it's just talking about those things. And you know, there's a lot of girls that, you know, with social media today and everybody's scrolling and looking and comparing. And you know, and I'm guilty of that, too. And I have to pull myself back and go, it's just social media. It's not real. But there are really, it's, you know, we live in a different time. You know, when you and I were doing all this stuff, there was no social media. We weren't promoting our stuff. We weren't out there as much as these other girls are. And so I'm just hoping that it'll, you know, maybe somebody who's out there having a really hard time will go, oh, wow, you know, she went through kind of hard time too, you know. And because I think sometimes people have an idea in their head about anybody who's had any type of success that, oh, it's so easy for them, you know. And it's not. It's just not. That's not the reality. You know,
I'm glad you're writing
this book. Yeah. So that's what it's
And this
about.
Is going to be a book about your life. So this is like a memoir.
Yes.
Okay. Wow. We're excited. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, because you know what? You probably do have some really amazing stories. We do want to know, what was your relationship like with Hef? Some people had conversations with him, some people didn't. I mean, I know you came along. Was he married to Kimberly Hefner when you, in 1990, when you came along?
Yeah, so my year, 90, was kind of the year that everything got shut down. So I really did miss out on a lot of the, you know, none of the crazy Playboy parties were really happening for my year. You know, we were like the year that got shut down. Kimberly came in and changed the whole setup. She changed the structure of the parties, and it became a very conservative place there for a while. So I missed out on all the fun. But I do have
stories. It came back with a vengeance, but by then you were like having your own kids and you were busy with your own life.
I was a full-time mom. I did go out with Hef after they divorced, and I went out with Hef and a group of the girls, Julie McCullough, God, Ava. We all went out one night, and I remember it was a club in Hollywood. I couldn't tell you the name, but there were cages that you could dance in. You might remember. Anyway, and I got in one of those cages because I always wanted to be a go-go dancer. That, you know, with my skating and everything, you know, I love to dance. So I got in that cage and I just danced the whole night. And when they were all leaving, Hef's like, "Where's Deborah?" And everybody's looking for me, and Hef looks up and he goes, "She's in the cage," you know. And it was just one of the funny Hef story, because he's just like, "Oh, she's in the cage."
That is hilarious. I've never been there. I would have loved that, though, too.
I have heard somewhere that there are tunnels under the mansion. Is that true?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yep, there's tunnels. There's secret doors. There's, you know, a full zoo. They had zoo staff, zookeepers. I used to give tours at the mansion.
Oh,
in the 90s. I used to go up and give the... Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, everybody, if you were out of money, you just call the mansion and you're like, "Hey, I need a gig." They'll find one for you. Hey, come up and do a tour, $750, I mean, in your pocket. You know what? It was just amazing. It's like a family that you have, that you could always go up there. I don't know about 1990, right when he got married, when, in 92 December, when I came along, then they had a 2-year-old, and then they had the little Cooper in the high chair. Okay, so then I thought, okay, I really have missed.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, I did a lot of those tours, and you know, lots of. I did a lot of shooting. I actually threw a party at the mansion for in 1999. There was a movie called Orgasma, and I was friends with the producer Scott Greenstein, and he called me and he said, "Is there any way we could do the premiere at the mansion?" And I hooked the whole thing up. We had Metallica come up.
Cool.
And Parker and the other guy, the two guys, the stars of Orgasma. And I just remember I like put that whole thing together. You know, it was like, I was already like a businesswoman back then.
Yes, you were. And Playboy teaches a lot of good business skills too. If you're smart and you go around and you meet all of the different departments.
Is it Orgasmo or Orgasma? Because I can't find anything with Orgasmo.
Orgasma. Here, hold on. I can tell you. It's the guys that did South Park. You know who I'm talking about. Trey
Parker. Yeah, it's Orgasmo.
Yeah. Did you find it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Johnny loves to look everything up and find everything. Scott
Greenstein produced it, and he called me, and he was at my wedding, you know, so we were friends. And he called and said, "I really want to do this up at the mansion," because these guys, you know, they were really fun and hip, and he had Metallica on board, and I hooked him up with Mary O'Connell and somebody else, and next thing I knew, we were throwing a party with Metallica for his movie.
Anything is possible. I like that.
Anything
is possible. I love that.
Yep.
And Hef loved it when the girls would take advantage of what he basically was giving us. And he loved seeing us excel and do well. I remembered he said that to me one time. Yeah. And that. I mean, but I didn't have a conversation, like a deep conversation with him, but some did. Did you ever have a one-on-one with him?
You know, no, I didn't. It was a little difficult because, you know, when I was going up there in 90 and 91, he was married to Kim, and I would go up with Pam. You know, we'd go up for movie night. And he really loved Pam, obviously. And, and you know, I was so young that I didn't have the skills that I have today, really, to be honest with you.
Me
I just
too.
I didn't really know what to say to him, you know? Like, hey.
You know, same thing.
And he was,
I really am similar to you. I really have grown as time went on. I am a completely different person with people now. And, you know, to me, it was a little intimidating. You know, he'd walk into the room, and I was just like, ooh, there's Hef, you know? I mean, and one time I said, hi, he's the first time I met him. I go, hi, I'm Barbara Moore. He goes, I know who you are. I mean, we just are shooting your centerfold.
Yeah.
It was
and
so
by
funny.
The way, that was Hef. And, you know, I have pictures. It's so funny because when I look at photos that I have from Playmate of the Year parties, I'm always in photos next to Hef. So I must have had conversations with him because I'm always standing right next to him in the photos.
Yeah, or just lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
let me ask you about the Playmate of the Year. I ask everybody this. During the whole time of, you know, shooting, and that's your year, and there's a little buzz, okay, Playmate of the Year is going to be chosen. What was that like? You just mentioned that Hef really liked Pamela Anderson, but she didn't receive Playmate of the Year, the Matthews Playmate, Lisa Matthews.
Yeah,
Playmate of the Year, correct?
Yeah, it was very, that was shocking, you know, because I really thought Pam was going to be the, and he made it up to her because I think what he had decided for Pam was that she didn't need to be Playmate of the Year, that she was going to be a star, you know, she was really going to be a star. And so I think that was really, I mean, that was my feeling about it because she was on a roll, and he wanted to be a part of that. So, yeah.
I also heard something else, though, because during that time, there was a war going on. Was it Desert Storm? We were signing a lot of autographs for those soldiers, I remember, at Playboy.
Yeah.
And they wanted to do a real American flag thing, an All-American, and that Lisa Matthews fell into that really well. That's what I heard.
Yep. Absolutely. So and I couldn't tell you. I really don't know. I just knew that, you know, we all thought.
Wow, that's interesting. That's really interesting. In another interview, they said about that, the Playmate said that, that everybody was surprised, but Pamela Anderson said herself, she goes, I don't care. I'm going to be a star anyway.
Yeah, she knew. She was on her way to being a star.
Yeah, he made it up to her. I don't know how many covers she did, but it's a lot of covers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, was she on the Home Improvement show at that time, though, Deborah, to where, you know, usually he would choose somebody who was, like, regularly on a show already or somewhat famous already?
She was doing Home Improvement, she was doing Baywatch. I mean, she was on her way.
Was this when you were roommates with her, or did that happen after?
I think it was like happening while we were living together. She was on her way. It's funny too because she and I had a lot of the same auditions while we were living together, and it's funny to look back on all of that. But yeah, no, when we moved out of that apartment, I think that's when she booked Home Improvement.
Mm-hmm.
And
I
think she moved in when we moved out of that apartment. I don't know for sure now because it's been so many years, but I think she moved in with Scotty.
Oh, he liked her to be really conservative. Because Elsie dated him after her, and Elsie goes, you know what, Elka Jensen?
Oh, right, yeah.
Yes, and she was dating him, and it's a funny story, Deb, because, oh, my gosh, she's like, this guy, we walk around, we go into a restaurant, something. He's acting like he's some famous guy or something. I'm like, he is. She goes, what from? Because she's German. She was from Germany. She didn't know. And I go, Happy Days. She's like, what's Hoppetus? Hoppetus. What? Everybody keeps talking about Hoppetus. And I'm like, Happy Days. It's a big TV show. And she had no idea that she was even dating a celebrity.
That's hilarious.
And he wouldn't let her wear lingerie to the mansion when they go to the parties. She had to wear, like, the boxer shorts with the button-up, like a man's type of a little, you know, pajama. He would not allow her to wear lingerie with him if she went with him.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So funny.
I always wondered if he was like that with Pamela. So that's all kind of funny and interesting. But, okay, I wanted to know what your acting was. I want to know some of your favorite roles you did.
One of my favorite jobs that I booked was early on, and it was actually before I did Playboy. I booked a commercial for Japan for Suntory Whiskey. And my agent called me the last minute. She's like, Deborah, you've got to get over to this casting. The actress fell out of this job, and they really want to see you right now. Like, you got to go now. And so I got in my car, and I drove over there. They hired me on the spot. I showed up.
Awesome.
The commercial was shooting the next day on the Universal lot. I showed up. They met me at my car, took me to my trailer, and I said, oh, I have my own trailer. I had no idea who I was shooting with or anything. I was shooting a Suntory Whiskey commercial with Mickey Rourke. This was in 1988.
Oh, wow.
And this
was
right
so
after 9.5 weeks. This was when he was married to Deborah Fury. This was when he was hot, Mickey Rourke. And I get in my trailer, and they said, we're going to take you over to introduce you to makeup and hair, and then we're going to take you over to introduce you to Mickey. And I said, who's Mickey? And they said, Mickey Rourke. And I go, Mickey Rourke, the actor? And they go, yeah, you're shooting this commercial with Mickey Rourke. And I was like, what? Back then, I had a car phone in my Chevy Blazer. I had a car, you know, one of those car phones that are in your car.
Yeah.
I go to my car. I get in my car. I turn on my car. I call my roommate. One of my roommates was Mary Sheldon. She was on Young and the Restless. And my other roommate was Laura Smith, and she was an actress, aspiring actress. And I called them up, and I go, oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm doing a commercial with Mickey Rourke. And they're like, what? They were like all screaming on the phone. And I'm like, I haven't met him yet. What do I say? You know, I mean, I was a kid.
Oh, my goodness. That made you so nervous, probably.
I was a wreck. So I go and I get my hair and makeup done. And I go to meet him and I can't even put two words together. Like, I'm just a baby. Like, he's like, hi, Deborah, you know, and he goes to shake my hand. Well, cut to 5 years ago, I'm in Beverly Hills, and I'm at this shop in Beverly Hills where they make men's shirts. And he's in there because I took my son in to get some shirts made. And he's in the store, and I go, hi, Mickey. I go, you're not going to believe this. I said, you and I shot a commercial back in 1988 for Suntory Whiskey. He goes, what? And I go, yeah. I go, I was the girl in the commercial with you. And I go, I'm Deborah. And he goes, oh, my God. He goes, you know, I remember that. And I go, you know, I mean, he's done so much that, you know, for him to even remember that. But, yeah.
Because remember that, yeah.
Well, now I'm a different person, right? Now I had no problem talking to him or even, you know, striking up. I was like, I don't care anymore.
Right.
But back then, oh, my God. What?
He's so sweet, right? Because I met him a few times just out and about, too, like around Beverly Hills. And he was, he's like, sit down and chat with you. And then I invited him to my going away party because I was moving to Vegas once. He came. I mean, he was really a nice guy.
Yeah, super nice. Really nice and really fun to work with. You know, I mean, he gave me some advice on auditioning and all of that. But, yeah, that was definitely
big. memory.
That was a big moment in my career. And then, you know, I think as far as like one of the things that I'll never forget is that I got to work with Bob Hope, you know. I mean, that was like unbelievable.
Big time. Legend.
So that was amazing. And then, you know, I got to do a movie with Michael Nuri. And that was like my first real big cast in a movie.
Who's
Susan Michael Hubley
Murray?
And Michael Nuri, he did Flashdance.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well,
and
it sounds like you did a
and
lot.
By the way, he's had quite the acting career. I mean, you know. And again, this is life coming full circle. I think 3 years ago, I met him. We, you know, were friends on Facebook, and we met here in Brentwood and had pizza at Toscana and caught, you know, and he's like, can you believe we did that? That was back in 92. Like, we reconnected and just grabbed a pizza, and it was just so fun to sit across from somebody that, you know, had a career. I got to work with Nick Cassavetes. In a movie called Together, and you know, obviously he's had quite the career.
You've done a lot.
Yeah.
But you
so,
know
yeah,
what? You
I've
can
had...
go to your IMDb page and see everything. And you've done a lot of commercials. You were lucky because commercials were not easy to book, but you had to look for the commercials. Paid a lot of money.
Quite a few.
That is one thing.
Yep.
Johnny, hold on. Let her finish her thought real quick.
Sorry, my apologies.
So,
No. I was just going to say, yeah, commercials was my, you know, that was, I remember I did a thing in 1983. I went to a place called Pepper Gallegos. It was a commercial workshop. And you did it for 6 weeks. And at the end of 6 weeks, they brought in agents from all over the LA area. And you're the big hope from doing this workshop was that you'd get an agent. Well, I had three agents approach me that wanted to sign me. I signed with Pacific Artists, and as my career started taking off commercially, I ended up with an agent, Neil Kreppel at Sutton Barth & Venari. And do you know, to this day, he left Sutton Barth & Venari and opened up Commercial Talent. I'm still to this day with him. I haven't been on a commercial audition in 10 years, but if I ever wanted to, you know,
he's there for you.
Yeah,
I know. And then they want, you know, they'll say, hey, come back. And, you know, you're just kind of in a different place. You know, you just are. I'm having to go on a casting. I'm glad those days are over. That was a lot of casting. Go ahead, Johnny. No, go ahead.
Well, I remember there was a thing that you did, an interview that you did about Bruce Jenner and how you were proud of him or something. Do you remember that one?
Well, you know what it was? I had just gotten off an airplane. I was really tired. They caught me coming out of Spago, and I had not had any sleep, and I had to go to this dinner, and he had just come out that he was Caitlin, and I just, you know, I thought, you know, I knew him. You know, I had known him for years. He and Chris and Mitch and I did a couple of talk shows together. We did celebrity ski things, and I've had dinner at their house, you know, so I knew him as Bruce. And when he went through that, I just felt really. I did not.
Okay,
you know, people say they did, but I did not. And there was no evidence of that. But I just thought, how brave, you know, at this point in his life to go through all that, you know. And so, yeah, anything came out of that was that anybody that wants to do that or transition or do that, you know, he made it safe for a lot of people. So,
I think,
you know,
so too.
God bless him. Yeah, God bless him.
Hey, yeah. You know what? That's hard. People looked at him not just as a man, but an Olympian man, okay? And so for him to be able to come out, and that must have been such a strong feeling inside of him to come out like that. It's not for publicity, and people were saying it was for that. No way. It was something deep inside him. It had to come out.
That's a big publicity stunt.
I know. Just like coronavirus is supposed to be publicity, is some kind of fake thing. Oh, well, what? The government has such a big production company that they can actually fool the entire world?
Yeah.
Right? It's kind of strange. Yeah, so, yes, I did see that, too. I thought you were coming out of Mr. Chow.
Yes,
I thought it was heartfelt.
Yeah, you know, listen, I got caught off guard, and, you know, I just had dinner. I just got off a plane. I just got back from Europe, and I had just heard about it. And they stopped me and wanted to know. And, you know, I mean, I just think it's a beautiful thing that everybody's free to do and be whoever they want. We live in a world now that is, you know, it's time that we all accept everybody for who we are. End of story. You know?
Yeah. And he's cool. She's cool. Caitlin goes out. His son is a rock singer. And Shauna Sand was telling, she's invited me a couple of times to these rock concerts that his son puts on in Malibu, and there's Caitlin, and there's the whole family there, and it's just like normal, and so he's living life just normally like that, so it's
as
interesting.
This is interesting. I go on Instagram, and it's really weird, because I will look at the thing that says support Playboy, you know, and I'll just click on it. I'm not making this up. I mean, you know, it's like of all the Playboys, and seriously, as soon as I just clicked on it just now, it's the View Deborah. It says Deborah Driggs. You're listed under, there's pictures on put under Support Playboy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because this fan of ours does that. Support Playboy is on Instagram, and he features different people. So he's supporting her right now? On his latest
post? Posting her, picture of her.
Oh, that's cool.
I don't know.
He's nice.
What's his name?
He's a nice guy. Keith.
Support Playboy.
Support.
Instagram.
Yes. Support Playboy.
Like right now, I see Heather Ray Young.
Yes. He sends a Christmas card to me every year. So
you know what? Yes. He just posted a photo of me.
Yeah, well, that's cool. So, hey, we're coming to a close, and we could go on forever, but it is an hour show. If you want to go on longer, and if you have anything that was crazy or funny or anything that happened at the mansion, Johnny always wants to know that. But also, this is very important. I want you to do a shout out on where people can find you. You're on Instagram. We just covered that. And you have a lot of awesome pictures on there. And where else can people find you? And also, do you sell Playboy memorabilia, like your headshots, on eBay or anywhere else?
I do not. So I do not. I have, you know, if people have been, because of Donald Trump being on the cover of my issue, it all of a sudden got a resurgence. And so I've had many people send me things to sign. And so, you know, I'll do that. But yeah, if all my really where I post the most is on Instagram. I'm not a big social media, you know, I'm just kind of getting in the social media game. I'm trying to keep up with everybody. It's not really my thing, so I'm trying to do my best. But no, I don't sell anything. I will sign stuff if people send it to me. But no, I don't sell anything. If they want
to find
me to sign something, they can find me on Instagram at Deborah Driggs, and they can just private message me, and someone will send my P.O. box to them so they know where to send stuff to have it.
Oh, perfect. And so everybody do that. And I didn't even think about that. I didn't know that that was the issue that you were in. But I do know the cover model said she refuses to sign it because she's anti-Trump. And who was that? Was that Randy Brandt on the cover?
And it's funny because she sold so many issues on eBay and I bought them all up.
Oh,
is that funny?
Oh my gosh!
She sold so many on eBay that were anti-Trump, and I bought them all up because I thought, you know what? I love Trump. I had the pleasure of meeting Trump, not in person, but we spoke on the phone a few times. You know, when I did my issue, you know, and I always
I dated him, right?
I did not know that.
Really? I've been doing a lot of interviews.
Oh, no, I did not know that. So I'm out of the loop. I have a couple girlfriends that I knew that did date him, but I never dated him. He did, you know, we talked. I always thought he was a really nice, you know, my description of Trump is he's very vanilla. he's vanilla. He's like, he wears Kmart suits and he plays golf and he's vanilla. And I voted for him and that's where it stands, you know?
I know. Hey, so I mean, if people are mad at me for voting for him, I just say, what? I can't vote for my friend?
Yeah. Well, and
I know him.
That,
I know
mean,
he's not racist.
We live...
I know he's not.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, you can't raise the family that he raised, the most beautiful, loving, caring children that he raised. They're all of service. They all want to serve. You can't have this family if you're the human being everybody's making him out to be. Is he a great president? No, not really. Does he say stupid shit? Yeah. But, you know, get over
that
it.
That part was unfortunate.
Part.
But, I mean, that was unfortunate because if he wouldn't have done that, maybe he probably would have won again. But.
Yeah.
So that is what it is. But so that's interesting.
That's
okay, so now everybody who's listening now knows, and so you're going to probably get flooded with more requests. So everybody just DM you on Instagram and find out how to get your coffee.
And you'll get the PO box information, and you can send me whatever you want, and I'll sign it.
And what
Deborah,
about business?
You know about our channel. I don't know if you know about our channel yet, but we have a channel as well.
Wait, hold on.
Oh,
we're not done with her shout out yet. Okay, about business, though. If they want to contact you for business, because I know you go by Deborah Gaylord sometimes, so I don't want to confuse people if they're trying to find you for insurance. Okay.
So, my name is hyphenated Deborah Driggs Gaylord. But you know, I doubt anybody's going to reach out to me for business. I do really high end insurance. So, if there's somebody out there that wants to do insurance, then so be it. They can find me easily on the internet.
Well, I can't wait to see you again with our group, with
me
Tina
too.
And Sandy. Yeah. I miss those
me
times.
Me too. We have to do it soon.
And then I'm going to hear more about that business. But, we're not done. Johnny wants to tell you something. We've got something that's exciting. Okay, go ahead, Johnny.
We have our own TV channel on Roku. And I'm also going to be building another one for Barbara. But the details on that are not set yet because she needs to make a decision on a few things. But I'm going to make her one. But the thing is that I have a TV channel, and the reason I'm bringing this up, I just think that it would be good if you ever want to maybe do something on the channel, or, you know, if you ever have an idea for the channel or something, maybe you could bring an idea up to Barbara or something.
Okay. Sounds good.
Do you have
Roku? Where we can see you. It's where we can see you, though, and it's the TV, so it's good. We're doing it once in a while because – you have to have Roku.
I don't have Roku. I don't even know that I even have heard of it. So that's interesting. Is it an app that you get on your phone?
It's like a streaming device, just like Apple would be. or Amazon Fire Stick.
Oh, mm-hmm. Got it. Okay. Well, I'll have to research mm-hmm. that. But, yeah, definitely we can talk offline about ideas for that.
Yeah. Well, we just like to see. Okay. I just said, hey, we're interviewing Playboy Playmates, and it's a shame that we can't see them. You know, me doing this 5 days a week, I don't want to do hair and makeup 5 days a week. So I love podcasts. But once in a while, it's nice to see a bunch of Playmates faces. And we have up to 75
well, we
people
we
on.
Yep,
we are
and
also
we could
going
always
to be doing, about doing something else where we're going to channel Hugh Hefner.
Yep, and
with
we could always do an Instagram Live.
Yeah, that's a good idea, too. But are you into psychics and mediums at all?
I am.
Every Friday we have a regular psychic, Dale Shear, that's on our show live at 5 every Friday. And you can call in. So many Playmates, after they've been on our show for this initial interview, they call in. And Johnny patches them through because he knows them, their number, and they ask psychics. This psychic is amazing. So we're offering that to you, and you could do that if you ever have a question. And, you know, those are expensive,
those people.
I would love
to do that, yeah.
Okay.
Well, definitely, yeah.
Something where we channel people that knew Hugh Hefner. We're going to get a medium on, and we're going to channel Hugh Hefner.
Wow, amazing.
We already did that. We already did that with Alexis Vogel. Did she do your makeup for Playboy?
I loved Alexis. Oh, my God. Loved her.
So sad. Me too.
Yeah.
We did one.
Her.
I had 8 Playmates all at once on. 8 Playboy Playmates, and I was, like, finagling. They were all calling in at different times, and it actually went really smoothly, and they were, you know, everybody loved her. She touched us in such an amazing way. And, you know, she was actually the one who said, you know, Steve would be better for you to shoot, you know. And so, like, she just was such a good friend. I could not believe it when she passed away. It was so sad.
And
so very sad.
We have to say a prayer for BJ, too. Poor BJ.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Love
thanks for
BJ.
Mentioning. Oh, well, me too. She was so influential. You get along with the director of Playmate Promotions, you're going to get booked a lot. And she didn't book a lot of Playmates, but we had a good rapport. I traveled the world with her. I really loved her. I just saw her at a grocery store. She invited me over for dinner. We never did confirm details. And then she was cured of cancer. And then I guess she got it back. And I, you know, that is a regret. And you were saying at the beginning of the show, it's nice to lay your head on the pillow and have no regrets. And I did not have any regrets until this happened recently. And I'm like, I'm not going to be like that. When I'm invited, I want to follow through. These people mean so much to me. This is 28 years of not just the Playmates, it's the people who worked there. How wonderful so many of those people were to us.
Yeah. Yeah, they were just beautiful, beautiful souls. I have so many great memories. I remember, I don't know if you remember this, but the woman that answered the phone at the building on Sunset. I don't know if you remember this, Barbara, but the extension to Playmate Promotions was 252. And
nope.
When you called the building, the woman that answered the phone that sat in the front there, I'd say, hi, can I Playmate Promotions? And she would always say, 252.
I don't remember.
You don't remember
that's
that?
Funny.
Yeah, that's every single time I called, 252.
Oh, how
cute. That was the extension to the promotion.
Wow. These little
and,
things.
And,
oh, one thing I forgot to ask you, because I see that you are really from California, right? You grew up in California, correct?
Born and raised. Yep, born and
okay,
raised.
Okay, so sometimes when you're already a local, don't actually spend the night at the mansion and stay at the mansion, but I don't know how far away your city was, so I don't know if you were Northern California. Did you stay at the mansion ever overnight when you were shooting?
Never.
Hmm.
Nope. I lived in North Hollywood.
That's the thing. The California girls, they didn't get that. Like, I was always flying in from Nashville, Tennessee, and they didn't put you in a hotel. You were at the mansion. And it was just such an experience. experience to, you know, stay there overnight for a week, you know, and just live there basically and be there for all the dinners and the movies and hang around there. And so that part I always thought, oh, it's kind of sad for the California girls that didn't.
Never got that experience.
Oh, well, so, you know, maybe you didn't even notice until I just brought it up.
Yeah. Well, guys, this was so beautiful and lovely to catch up with you. Unfortunately, I have another call at 6:30, so I have to jump off. But
okay.
I would love to hear more about Roku, and maybe we can put an Instagram Live together moving forward.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Miss March 1990, Deborah Driggs. Find her on Instagram. Request her autograph for her magazine. And thank you so much. You can find this show and all of our other shows on our YouTube channel, Life, Laughter, Happiness. And follow us as well on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. We would love to hear from you. And thank you for listening. Thank you, Johnny.
Thank you, Deborah.
And thank you for listening, everybody.
Thank you, guys.
Well, good night, Deborah.
Thank you for taking me down memory lane.
We love you. You're awesome.
Love you.